Thank you, Pastor Mike. Good morning. It's good to be here. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, would you turn to Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 36. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. And I'm going to read 36, 37, and 38 of Luke chapter 2. Luke 2, 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. May God bless us for the reading of his word this morning. Let's get that on. Whoop, I'm going too fast. Back up. I'm giving it away. All right. This is our third Sunday of Advent. It's a time of expectation, a time of waiting, a time of anticipation, and the closer we get to our Christmas morning. You know, if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, you remember that anticipation of that child to be born or a grandson or granddaughter to be born. We have two children, John and Allie. John, our oldest, was born on November 18th, 1986. So he just turned 35. And Lois and I sort of had a heads up that he would be born either on the 17th of November or the 18th of November, because on November 17th, Lois and I drove from Dannebrog, Nebraska. That's where we're living at that point, central Nebraska. We drove down to Grand Island to see our doctor. He examined Lois, and then he said to both of us, "I will see you tonight." And so we just, what? We just kind of looked at each other, and so we, with excitement, we drove back home knowing that someday or sometime later that day, we would have to get back into our car and drive back to Grand Island to the birthing center of St. Francis Hospital. We lived in a beautiful home in Dannebrog. The church owned it. It was the parsonage. We loved that house. Dannebrog is 23 miles away from Grand Island. Of course, you know the route. If you're in Dannebrog, by the way, there's downtown Dannebrog. 400 people. We lived on the northern part of the town, 2.5 blocks away. So that gives you an idea how big Dannebrog was. If you drive from Dannebrog to Grand Island, you go 10 miles east on Highway 58, 13 miles south on 281. So the hours passed, and the expectation that we're going to be parents was building. Everything was packed, but the hours kept going. We're waiting for that moment. We went to bed. And a little after midnight, I noticed that Lois got out of bed, and I burst out of the bed. I went running out of the bedroom, met Lois in the hallway, and she says, "It's time." And so we got dressed, got in the car, headed to Grand Island, arrived at the birthing center, got out of the car in the parking lot, headed to the door. I was walking kind of fast, and all of a sudden, I hear my wife behind me, "Hey, slow down." I looked around, she's like 15 feet behind me. My very pregnant wife was 15 feet behind me. So I went back, we walked to the front door together. We were welcome, assigned a room for the birth to take place. And we were blessed because when we arrived, there were no other expectant mothers there. And so we had a lot of attention and care early on. Things went very well. John was born later that day. But from that moment in the doctor's office, up to the birth of our son, there was a high expectation. We're in this sermon series that's focused on the expectation, the anticipation when it comes to Christmas. So it's a night before Christmas. There's just something special about this year. Eugene Peterson puts it this way. Once a year, each Christmas, for a few days early at least, we and millions of our neighbors turn aside from our preoccupations with life reduced to biology or economics or psychology and join together in a community of wonder. Now, if you're counting, it's only 13 days until Christmas. As I worked on this message, I thought about, you know what? There's got to be an app that count down to Christmas. And you know what? I got on the App Store. There's at least three apps that help us count down to Christmas. So I said it was 13 days before Christmas. Actually, here it is. It's 12 days, 13 hours, 26 minutes, and 26 seconds before Christmas and counting down. So very, very helpful. Comes with music, but I won't turn it on. And I'm going to turn this off now. So there we go. Every year there's anticipation, counting the days until Christmas. When I was a kid, it seemed like it took forever for Christmas morning to arrive. Imagine the Jewish people who lived during the centuries prior to the birth of Jesus. And they were aware of the Old Testament prophecies pointing to the coming of their Messiah. There was a longing. There was an expectation that their king would someday come and be revealed. Over 300 Old Testament prophecies point to Jesus. They were fulfilled in Jesus. Some of those prophecies point to his birth. Oh, there's my app. I forgot to show the picture. All right. Numbers 24:17, a star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. We looked at Isaiah 7:14 before. Therefore, the Lord himself will give a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Micah 5:2, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, one who is to be ruler of Israel, whose counting forth is from old, from ancient days. One person very, very aware of these prophecies was Anna the prophetess. So let's focus on Anna. She waited with great anticipation for the Messiah. And we're going to see her reaction when she finally gets to see the baby Jesus. Not only do we see her reaction, but we're going to learn from her what it means to live a life of expectation. All we know about Anna is in these three verses. So let's add a little context. In chapter 2, Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem. They did that for a couple of reasons. First, according to the law of Moses, Mary was required to undergo a purification ritual according to Leviticus chapter 12. This would take place when the baby was 40 days old. So Jesus is 40 days old. Secondly, Joseph and Mary, as we see in verse 22, presented Jesus to the Lord. According to Exodus chapter 13, firstborn males were to be consecrated, that is, dedicated to the Lord. So Joseph and Mary were devout Jews who desired to obey and follow the law of Moses. And while they were at the temple, they encountered two people they did not expect to meet. The first person was Simeon in verses 25 to 35. The Lord revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And so when he saw the baby Jesus, Holy Spirit came upon him. He cradled Jesus in his arms and prayed a prophetic blessing over him and blessed Mary and Joseph as well. Simeon was able to see Jesus, the fulfillment of God's saving purpose in the world. And then they encountered Anna. The first half of verse 36 says, and there was a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Now, a prophetess was a rare and honored title. According to Jewish tradition, there were only seven women before Anna that had this title who prophesied to the nation of Israel. Also, keep in mind that there's been no prophet on the scene for hundreds of years. And as a prophetess, she, like Simeon, was able to recognize Jesus and his role of God's Savior to the world. And not only was she a prophetess, she was also the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. Asher was one of the lost 10 tribes of Israel, but apparently some people did keep family records like Anna's family did. Now, the last half of verse 36 and the first part of verse 37 says, she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. Anna was a senior citizen. She was a widow. The wording here can mean a couple things. It can mean that Anna was married 7 years, then her husband died, and now she's an 84-year-old widow. Or it can mean that Anna had been a widow for 84 years. If that's the case, she's easily over 100 years old. Most likely, she's 84 years old, has been a widow for decades. Now, in verse 37, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night. The temple was Herod's temple. Very large, had many rooms for various purposes. Perhaps Anna might have been allowed to live in one of those rooms. Women back then normally were not allowed to spend the night at the temple, but again, she was a prophetess. This may have given her a special status and thus allowed to live in the temple. Verse 37 says that she worshiped the Lord with fasting and prayer day and night. The temple had set hours of prayer and worship, but Anna went beyond that and prayed and worshiped even more. Night and day points to the fact that Anna was, in a popular sense, at the temple all the time. If someone back then was a regular attender of worship back then, most likely they saw Anna there in attendance. She was regular at the prayer time, times of worship, and she worshiped privately as well. Notice there's fasting and prayer. Biblical fasting can be defined as abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. We know Jesus did that for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness before his public ministry to acknowledge his dependence on the Holy Spirit and God's Word. So Anna worshiped, prayed, fasted day and night on a regular basis. And then verse 38 describes her encounter with Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Been praying for decades for this moment, and the moment has finally come. And she, with excitement, began to tell all those waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem about what just happened, giving thanks to the Lord. She noticed the redemption of Jerusalem at the end of verse 38. Back in verse 25, the righteous and devout Simeon waited for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel is the hope and the comfort that the Messiah would bring to the nation. So the consolation of Israel in verse 25 is the same thing as the redemption of Israel in verse 38. People like Anna and Simeon had high expectations concerning the coming of the Messiah, and they knew it was just around the corner. When Anna recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah, she burst into thanksgiving to God, and she began to share with others around her. Well, this takes us to our outline. What can we learn from Anna, especially about having a heightened expectation the closer we get to Christmas Day? Three things. First of all, be devoted to worship God. Be devoted to worship God. Wayne Grudem defines worship as the activity of glorifying God in His presence with our voices and hearts. The English word for worship comes from the Old English word worship. Worship. And though when we worship God, we're declaring His worthiness through praise and prayer and fasting. Anna certainly was devoted to worship. Again, verse 37, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night. It was a lifestyle. For decades, she worshiped God as she anticipated the arrival of the promised King and Messiah. You know, we have an Advent season every year. It starts the fourth Sunday before Christmas. That's our period of Advent. Advent for Anna was decades of waiting for the Messiah. Again, the fourth Sunday before Christmas, we begin with our Advent. So there's plenty of time with four Sundays for worship that centers our attention on the glory of God and the arrival of Jesus on Christmas morning. We sing the Christmas carols. That helps build our anticipation. A carol is simply a festive song. And so Christmas carols are festive songs centered on the birth of Jesus. And many of our traditional Christmas carols are worship songs. O come, all ye faithful. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the King. Angels from the realm of glory, come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. O come, Emmanuel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. You know, some years we have an Advent wreath, and we light the candle and we read the scripture, and each Sunday that we do that, that heightens our expectation and longing. And so after today, we got one more Sunday and the Christmas Eve service before Christmas morning. We can build upon the expectation that has been established so far. So like Anna, let's devote ourselves to worship, both individual worship and then corporate worship as well. Let's devote ourselves to prayer and to fasting. Let's be known for our devotion and our love for God. In my first church, there was a family with four generations. There was one member of the oldest generation. She was just simply known as Grandma Swanson. She was a devoted member of First Baptist Church of Dannebrog for decades. There's First Baptist Church of Dannebrog. They got two new buildings on the other side now, but that's the building that I came to in 1985. And Grandma Swanson had been a member there, I think, since the 30s or 40s, a long time ago. She's seen many pastors over the years. Her final pastor was me, just a kid out of seminary. At the age of 26, I was younger than most of her grandchildren. Grandma Swanson was a prayer warrior. She prayed for the church. She prayed for our missionaries. She prayed for the people in our community. She was living in a facility just across the street from the church, so it was easy just to walk across and visit her. And I remember she was praying for three people in that facility, a man named Porter, a woman named Betty, and another woman named Tina. And all three of them got saved eventually. They gave their lives to Christ. Grandma Swanson was praying for their salvation. One day, this is after she had to move out of that facility and had to live with her son because her health was going downhill. I went, paid a visit to her. I read scriptures. One of the verses that I was reading, she just closed her eyes and she finished that verse for me from memory. She recited it. Her heart and mind was just filled with God's word. During that visit, we also celebrated the Lord's Supper. And as we remembered the sacrifice of Jesus by eating the bread and drinking from the cup, she just stopped me. She said, "Why doesn't Jesus just come and take me home now? I just want to go home." Grandma Swanson, like Anna, longed to see Jesus. Her relationship with the Lord was strong and real, but she was ready to depart her earthly body and be in the very presence of Jesus in heaven. And a few weeks later, she did pass away. And she went home to be with the Lord, her Lord and Savior. Second thing we can learn from Anna, be overflowing with gratitude. Be overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 2:7 says, abounding with thankfulness. And then later in chapter 3, verse 17, it tells us that thankfulness is to be incorporated in all of life. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When Jesus is central of all that we do and all that we say, then it's much easier to continually give thanks to God. So as we draw closer to Christmas, our hearts can overflow with thankfulness to God because we're able to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. Of course, the opposite of thankfulness is complaining. Doris Day had a quote about that. Doris Day is a singer and actress and a part-time theologian because I love this quote, "Gratitude is riches, complaint is poverty." Gratitude is riches, complaint is poverty. A lot of truth there. Complaining and bitterness will just suck the life out of us. And it will suck the life out of the people around us as well. Constant complaining can result in poverty of soul, which impacts the mind, also impacts the body. One of my college roommates is a family practice physician, and he told me years ago that some of his patients would probably pay less visits to him if they just reduced the bitterness and the anger in their life. My friend knew that there was a connection between a person's physical ailments and the amount of anger and bitterness stored up in a person's life. But gratitude is riches. It just nurtures our soul. It brings peace to our mind. And for decades, day and night, Anna prayed and fasted, waiting for the arrival of the one that the prophet spoke about centuries before. Each day, each week, each month, each year, each decade passed, Anna knew that she was getting closer to that moment when she would encounter the promised Messiah. And that moment came. Wow. And she just overflowed with thankfulness to the Lord. Just imagine the excitement. Finally had arrived. The Lord revealed to me decades ago that this was going to happen, and now it's happening. She was able to gaze upon Jesus. Woodrow Crow says this about Anna. She was a senior, and she decided to be active and live rightly. No rocking chair for her. She'd only been married 7 years when her husband died. She remained a widow the rest of her life and now was 84. She could have been bitter at the hardship of her life and now her advanced age, but she refused. Instead, she worshiped God every day in the temple the only way she could, with prayer and fasting. You know, Shirley Lewis was a person who overflowed with thankfulness. She's with the Lord now, and often Shirley would say, "I am so blessed. No matter the circumstance, I'm so blessed." Shirley lived out 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You know, if you're in Christ and we are Christians, and God's will for us to give thanks in all circumstances. And we are to be characterized by thankfulness. Anna was, and so is Shirley, and that's why she can continually say, "I am so blessed." This leads to one more thing that we can learn from Anna. Be determined to finish well. Be determined to finish well. Anna teaches us to finish well with the years that we have left. She was in her 80s. She was devoted to prayer and worship. She was not ashamed of her faith because she was sharing it in verse 38. Again, her heart was full of thankfulness, and genuine thankfulness is linked to joy and peace. Anna finished well. I want to do that as well. I want to finish well. I don't want to be that cranky old retired pastor who just complains all the time. I don't want to do that. Some Christians think complaining is a spiritual gift. It's not. And I don't want to grow in bitterness and anger. I want to grow in my love for God, my love for other people, and I just want to keep loving life. And as I advance in years, I want to grow in Christ-likeness. I want to display more and more the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And I quote this verse a lot. I've probably quoted these two verses more than any other verses in the Bible because I'm always continually quoting these to myself. You know, when I go work out, I get in the sauna for a few minutes and I'm reciting this. I'm meditating on these verses because I want to be characterized by this. If someone asks, "What is a Christian?" You say, "Well, a Christian is full of love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." These are the things that I want to keep growing in. I want to just become more and more fruity as life goes on for the glory of God. You know, a few years ago, our daughter worked in a fraud department for a certain company. Part of her job was to talk to customers when their credit card had been compromised in some way or there's an error of some kind. Twice, over the phone, she got screamed at by pastors. The first pastor who screamed at my daughter played the "Do you know who I am" card. "Do you know who I am?" And he was screaming. He bragged about, as he was screaming, he was bragging about how big his church was. As he was screaming at my daughter, he told my daughter how many books he has written. And he went on and on how such a great man of God he was as he angrily screamed at my daughter. That was one time. There's a second time my daughter was screamed at by a pastor, this time a much older man. And here's the story. This pastor tried to donate online to Bethel University in St. Paul, Minnesota. Same Bethel University that my wife and I attended, met, and graduated from. It's our denominational school. And what had happened when he attempted to denote the donation, he typed the wrong expiration date in the card. And so the donation did not go through. And so he called the 800 number on the back of the card, and my daughter took the call, and he was livid. And my daughter was able to determine, just a simple error, just type in the right number, and you're going to be fine. But he was screaming. My wife couldn't get a word in. And in his yelling, he stated that he's given to Bethel before. He named off all the other fine Christian organizations that he donated to. Then as he continued to scream at my daughter, he stated that he'd been on staff at College Avenue Baptist Church in San Diego for years. My daughter then was able to say something. My daughter goes, "College Avenue Baptist Church, do you know Clifford Anderson?" And there was silence. And he said, "You know Clifford Anderson?" "Yeah, that's my grandfather." You know, I talked about Clifford last week. Cliff and Alice have been members of College Avenue Baptist Church since the 1970s when they moved out there so he could be the dean of Bethel West Seminary. After he retired from the seminary, he went on staff as the associate pastor for senior citizens at College Avenue Baptist Church. Apparently this man screaming at my pastor was also on staff there at one time. Well, he stopped yelling at this point. He suddenly got nice. And he said, you know, Cliff and Alice just recently hosted a birthday party for me. I just turned 85. And she says, at the birthday party, Alice, my mother-in-law, showed him pictures of their great-grandson named Benny. And Allie said, well, Benny's my son. And then Allie was able to fix the issue. But you know what? Again, I want to finish well. I don't want to have an episode like that on my resume. I mean, we all sin. We all make mistakes. But I don't want to ever do anything like that. I want to keep growing in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And certainly with both of those cases, there was a lack of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. You can go right down the list. I don't want to be known as that Christian, that pastor who quickly gets angry over little insignificant things. I'd rather finish well like Bill Harrington. I'd rather finish that way. 101 years old when he passed away. Lived his final years at the Papillion Manor. I understand that when Bill passed away, there was a lot of tears and crying and mourning at the Papillion Manor. That he was beloved there. I want to finish well like Bill Harrington, who was kind and joyful and gentle and prayerful, past the age of 100, Lord willing, if I get to be that old. We don't know the details of Anna's last years. We don't know if she had days or weeks or years after this. We know that what she was living for and what she was praying for had finally happened. If I was Anna, I would, or Simeon, I would think, okay, it's time to go home now. I've seen the Messiah. I could go home and be with the Lord. But no doubt, Anna finished well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Anna the prophetess. 3 verses in the whole Bible about what we know about her. But Lord, we can take so much home with us. I pray that as we get closer to Christmas morning, that we will worship more. We will just be overflowing, abounding with thankfulness. And Lord, whatever years that we have left, we just want to finish well. So each day, Lord, may we grow in the grace and the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, grow in Christ-likeness, increase in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, make a difference to the people around us. Thank you for this time, Lord, and we look forward now in celebrating the Lord's Supper together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.